Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show special edition here with the one and only David Meltzer. How are you?
Fantastic, and even much better now that I'm with you. It's just a joy to have a kindred spirit, a frequency that I resonate with. And from the very first time I've watched you, I said, oh, there's a neighbor of mine, because I always say my frequency is my neighborhood. And so thank you for allowing me to be in your neighborhood today.
Oh, goodness, that is so kind of you. And I felt the same way. Yesterday, I had the honor of being on your show, and I loved, their words just resonated with me. You kept saying, value added, and that is my whole mission in the world. So I feel like I found my person. I'm like, there he is, value added, yay. So tell me what you mean. Well, first of all, I want to know, I want to go all the way back to you in kindergarten, because can you go there with us give me preschool David before we go all this stuff.
So preschool David lived in Akron, Ohio, and just lost his dad, had left. Uh-huh. So he was in with a single mom, six kids, a mom who worked two jobs and packed my dinner in a paper bag and felt as if education was going to be the chance to exit this world of not enough, as you talked about value add, a world of punishment, a world where you're a victim, where things happen to me, a world of why me, why do they have this and I have that? I know that I'm as good, if not better than others, but I'm not going to get the opportunity because I was born into this circumstance. And education was going to be that savior, but yet I had another mission. And at that time, at 5 years old, I wanted to buy my mom a house and a car. And I was happy. And even though I was poor, I had this extraordinary mom, extraordinary siblings who ended up going to Harvard, Penn, and Columbia, graduating summa cum laude, and exiting the projects of Akron, Ohio. But I wanted to buy my mom a house, because the only time I wasn't happy as kindergarten Dave or preschool Dave was when I catch my mom crying over financial stress. And in my mind, I just wanted to make my mom happy. I'm 54 years old. I tell this story and still get choked up because I see her there working two jobs, living in that world, doing everything for me and my siblings. And I think how wonderful my life is today and how I'm capable of empowering so many other people, because my mom was willing to plant seeds under trees that she may someday never had sat under. And not only did she do it for my family, but she did it for the second graders and the Sunday school kids and the community and the women's equality organizations, which she led. She's done it her entire life. And so that was kindergarten Dave, a boy who wanted to be rich to buy his mom a house and a car that lived in a world of not enough.
That's we'll take a deep breath there. We're similar. Yeah, very similar. I love, my mom's very cool, and it's been fun to do things for her as well. And to see my mom is all things giving. Like I said, in the middle of 11 kids, that kind of thing. So I saw something where you said, I can't remember it exactly, but you can elaborate. If you do a couple things every day, one of them was to tell your parents how much you love them and all this stuff. Do you want to? I'm responsible for the hits on that video.
I reconcile time with daily activities of non-negotiables in my life. So I spend a minimum of 60 minutes a day on my health, because if you're healthy, you get as many wishes as you want every day. And if you're not healthy, you only have one wish. And then secondarily, I put minimums of times on the most relative people in my life. So 30 minutes with my wife minimum, 30 minutes with my 12-year-old son minimum, 2 minutes a day minimum with my three daughters, 23, 21, and 18 years old. I asked for 5 minutes. They gave me two minimum. I try to get as much as I can. But the most life-changing was the healing of spending a minimum of 1 minute with my mom and my dad. Now, my dad has passed, and I'm glad I spent that minute with him minimum every day. But my mom's still with me, and I call her every day, text her, email her, and I let her know four things. One, that I'm happy. Two, that I'm healthy. Three, that I love her. And four, I appreciate her. And it's amazing every day spending a minimum of a minute telling my mom what's most important to her has healed all of the activities of trying to prove to my mom that I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love her and appreciate her. So I don't have to drive down to San Diego to fix a screen door. I can go ahead and call someone that actually knows what they're doing and pay them to do it. It's much easier just to spend a minimum of a minute a day to make sure that my mom knows what's most important to her about her son.
Why do you want us to know that? Like, how different do you think the world would be if we all did that?
Oh, it would be so much healing. See, the idea in life is that you are happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy, and we need to figure out what we're doing to interfere with it. But we have a difficult time, one, being disciplined, and two, reconciling time. And when I say that, I say it to the point that we started with. See, most people, they do appreciate what they have. And when we appreciate things, it adds value to it. And it expands, just like the universe is expanding. Most people, not all, acknowledge what they have by giving it away. And acknowledgement can only occur, acquiring the knowledge of what you have, acknowledge, can only occur when you don't have what you had. Now, most people think giving is the only way that we don't have what we don't have, but it's not. People steal from us, they manipulate us, we lose things. And guess what? There's even greater lessons in when people steal or manipulate or we lose things than there isn't even when we give it. Now, people like our moms, and I'm assuming this is true about yours, my mom appreciates everything. She gave away everything. She gave her wealth, she gave away her health, she gave away her happiness for her children, for her community, and she never asked for more. So what happens to the individual that expands their vessel by appreciation? They empty their vessel by acknowledgement and they never ask for more. Slowly but surely, your vessel depreciates. It dissolves. It disappears until you're 80 years old and you need to ask for help. You need to ask your children gladly, which we do. But it's the antithesis or counterintuitive to what my mom wanted to do by giving. So what I teach people is that you don't have to live in a zero-sum game where you give to receive. What I teach is ask big. The universe is accelerating, growing, and expanding. When you ask someone for help, when you ask somebody for anything, you are adding value to that person. Yeah. And they are adding value to you. We do not live in a zero-sum game. There's no trade negotiation, no quid pro quo necessary. You live in a value-add world where everything you ask for and receive and give adds value to the universe, expands, grows, and accelerates in an infinite world of more than enough. So don't live in the world of not enough. Nothing's happening to you. You're not being punished. Live in the world of more than enough where there's promotion and protection, even in the mistakes, failures, setbacks, and when you're stolen, manipulated, or lose things. They all are adding value to a universe that's adding value. This mindset, heartset, and handset change will create abundance in everyone's life so they can give more and receive more.
Beautifully put. I love it. yeah, I have a question though. So let's say I want to ask big, but I'm a little bit afraid of the, you know, I got that what if they say no thing. So I have a theory on that myself, but what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we are always limiting ourselves, and I still limit myself, which, you know, was to me a realization a couple of weeks ago when they had the Webb telescope and they showed a picture of a billion universes, a billion galaxies with trillions of variables. And I said, man, am I limiting myself? And so what I say about asking, if you aren't asking big enough because you're afraid of a no, then you don't have a good relationship with no. For me, every no indicates I'm that much closer to what I think I want. See, the universe, when it punishes us or it causes pains, failures, and setbacks, it's like your mom. So when I was 3 years old, my mom, second grade teacher, never yelled, never hit anyone. In fact, my wife always tells my mom, you know what Dave's problem is? You never hit him and yelled at him.
And yeah, I'm going to have that coming from my wife.
Yeah. So I always say that's not true. When I was three, I went and reached out to touch a hot stove one time, and my mom slapped my hand and screamed at me, yeah. No, don't do that. And I started to cry. I said, Mom, why are you punishing me? What did I do? And she hugged me immediately, being who she is. And she's like, oh, no. I'm not punishing you. I'm protecting you. I'm promoting you. You just don't know what that stove's going to do to you. So when you receive a no, when you don't get into that school, your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up to you, you don't get the job you wanted, you don't get the raise that you wanted, or you're just asking and you receive a no, you're being slapped. You're being screamed at by an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source, something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom loves you, and you are not being punished. You are being protected and promoted just like the three-year-old that just doesn't know that that no, that thing you were asking for was going to burn you. So I tell people all the time, know your what and make it a possibility. Know your who. Who can you help and who can help you by making it a possibility? Figure out how and make it a perception. Prioritize and make it your reality. Apply your why in a trajectory of what you think you want every day, what you think you want every day, and let the failure, setbacks, and pain indicate to you that you have a lesson to learn. Let the no's indicate to you that you have a better place to be, a bigger place to be, a better situation to be in.
Good old fashioned redirect. Okay. What, tell me about sports. Why do you, I'm going to assume something, but I love sports. I mean, we got a college baseball player heading to Georgetown. All, you know, he's transferring to Georgetown. Lefty pitcher. I mean, I love sports. So
lefty pitcher, there's no better odds to be a professional baseball player. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I love sports. And I played college football and little baseball, ran track. But I love sports because to me, it is a microcosm of life. Individual sports, team sports, viewing sports, all the aspects of sports. There's only one thing that's more emotionally attached than sports into human beings. That's children. So, you know, I when I first ran the most notable sports agency in the world, Lee Steinberg, I said, tell me what business we're really in. And he said, we're in the irrationality of middle-aged people business. He goes, people will pay thousands of dollars for a ball with a signature on it. There's no better business in the world, Dave, except for children. I said, what do you mean? He goes, mothers will starve before they give up violin lessons for their children. Mothers will starve before they give up the baseball coach, the pitching coach. They will literally miss meals.
Yep.
So those are the two most emotional businesses. And, you know, for me, sports is a backdrop to life. In fact, the movie Jerry Maguire, which was inspired by our sports agency, it's a perfect example of why sports are so powerful. Most people think Jerry Maguire is their favorite sports film. And I always tell them, it's not a sports film. It's a love story. It's utilizing the backdrop of sports to show a love story. And it is one of the best love stories written by Cameron Crowe with extraordinary one-liners. You know, you had me at hello. That is not about sports. You know, I do my best work in a living room. Like all these things, right? Show me the money. Right. This is not about sports. This is a love story and a value story. So sports to me is everything next to children, even in the realm of business. So I use sports as a backdrop to all the activity I get paid for. And it's been a great backdrop for the activity I get paid for. And I encourage whoever else wants to be aligned with that. Align the backdrop of sports, whether you're a marketer or a janitor or a concession person or an executive. There's plenty of opportunities in the backdrop of sports.
Is there anything that you, is there a sport that you don't love?
No.
No, really?
No. Oh my God. That's why my business partner, Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, when I fell in love. Oh, now Marshall Falk is also a business partner of mine in a financial literacy project. But the one thing I loved about Warren is he was like me. We would sit at a flag football game of a six-year-old and have a ball watching it. You know, so I've cricket to, you know, football to rugby to baseball to cornhole to I'm the one of the guys, A7FL, you name it, pickleball. I'm all over anything you can think of. If it's a sport, I love it.
I love it. Yeah. Can you ball?
So here, I was born in Akron, Ohio, and Akron, Ohio is I was born in the same hospital as LeBron James and Steph Curry, but I was born next to Riviera Lanes, where that's where the world champion of bowling is. And Earl Anthony. So at a young age, I watched all the professional bowlers at the World Series of Bowling pre-TV days in Akron, Ohio at Riviera Lanes.
My kids are super into disc golf.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, they love it. They, all four of them, go play every day. And then the other thing I would love to ask you about, and I'm kind of, we're off the cuff here a little bit, but what do you think about the world of esports? Like, so I've got in my household, I've got one of the top players in the world of for RuneScape, Quinn. What do you think? Awesome. Yeah, we've got all sorts of
games, well, I'm a founding investor in the Toronto franchise with Marcus Colston and The Weeknd. Marcus Colston, The Weeknd, myself, Meta World Peace. We all founded one of the first franchises in Toronto with the four biggest license in esports. So I've been heavily involved almost from its popularity inception professionally with that venture and many others over Active Media. So I think that esports is the future. I think it's the great equalizer of sports that, you know, whether man, woman, tall, short, fast, slow, that everybody has access to these extraordinary games and competitions. And, you know, it's going to be the future. And I'm a huge, huge fan and investor in esports.
Awesome. All right. Where can we find you? I know you got to run. I hope you'll come back. I have thoroughly enjoyed meeting you. I hope I get to do more things in life with you. That's my big ask, please.
Yes. I would love to. And thank you for accommodating me. And I keep things a little bit brief so I can make these appearances in more places. But if anybody needs anything, I do free Friday trainings. I have these extraordinary, I give my book for free. I sign it. I ship it. I don't care. David@dmeltzer.com. David is my first name, @dmeltzer.com. If you lose my email, just reach out to Elizabeth or Google David Meltzer, David@dmeltzer.com. Please, I live my life of service. My name means beloved servant, and I want to be a beloved servant to you, Elizabeth, and to your audience. So thank you.
And I feel the same way. We love all of you listening and supporting all of our guests and our friends and our, you know, everything. But I don't want to leave without thanking our crew, the people behind the scenes who helped put this together, put you and me together to do these podcasts these past few days. My crew's Lindsay. Do you have people you want to mention? They're just awesome.
Oh my gosh, I'm so blessed to have Jake, Nick, Noah, George is on there, Matt. I have a big team. We've done 12. Tomorrow is my 5th year anniversary of my podcast. It's a lot younger than yours. 1,200 episodes in 5 years. And my team has helped build one of the most impactful podcasts, empowering people with the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, giving their playbook to success, the spirit of excellence portrayed via podcasts, as you have done so eloquently as well. I'm just so grateful to be here, and we're going to do more, I promise.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us, being here with us, and sharing the show. We appreciate you so much. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. And thank you so much, David, for being here. Lots of love. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.